From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 12th day of April, 2011. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. The state statisticians will be here with an update of crop progress in their areas. And as we close out the program, we'll check in on the agricultural weather forecast. Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming will be here. Along the way, we'll ask you to dial this number, whether you're listening to us on the radio, on the web, or on a phone line at 217-244-9455. A whole bunch of challenges to meet. Your part of the programming today is big because, well, 40% of what we do to present this ag programming to you is paid for by you, the listener. More on that in a moment, right here on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
In Chicago on this Tuesday afternoon, futures finished the day lower. The nearby contract in the May down 38 and three quarters cents today, 802 and three quarters the top, the bottom at 750 and a half. Settlement price at 759 and a half, down 38 and three quarters. July down 39 and a half at $7.92 and a quarter cents. From the corn pit nearby, May contract to 752 and a half. Settlement price down 23 and a half. That range from 775 and a half to 746 and three quarters. July down 23 and three quarters at 757 and a half. September at 696 and a half, down 22. December futures ranged from 656 and three quarters to 627 and a quarter. Settled at 636 and a half on the new crop. December corn down 20 and three quarters. March of next year at 646 and a half, 18 and three quarters cents lower. Nearby May soybeans at $13.29 and three-quarter. Settlement price down 38 and three-quarters, range from 70 and a quarter to 18 and a quarter. July down 38 and three-quarters at $13.41. August at $13.43 and a quarter, down 38. And the November beans at $13.44 and a quarter, down 36 cents. They range from $13.81 and a half to $13.28 and a half. Bean meal down 7.30 for the day. Bean oil down $1.58. Live cattle futures finished at $117.67 and a half. $1.35 lower. The June futures at $115.60, down $1.30. April feeder cattle at $131.80, $2.07.5 lower. The May futures there at $132.25, down $2.62.5. And April lean hogs today finished 20 higher at $93.45, but the May contract at $100.20 for 100 pounds, down $1.30. You're listening to the Closing Market Report, publicly funded Illinois Public Media from the U of I. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures may contract $106.10, down $3.82 a barrel. Ethanol at $2.66, 7 cents lower. Natural gas at $4.10 3/10 cents, a half cent lower. The heating oil or diesel fuel may contract, down 8 1/10 cents at $3.17 1/10 cents. And the gold futures at $1,452.90 an ounce. Settlement price there, $14.50 lower. The Dow Jones Industrial Average, just about 107 points lower at 12,274. And the dollar at 74.86 is now up 0.2. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area in east central Illinois. This afternoon, yet sunny skies, the high near 64 degrees. Tonight, mostly clear, a low of 41. Wednesday, sunny, a high near 68. Calm winds becoming south-southwest tomorrow at around 6 miles an hour. And then on Wednesday evening, mostly cloudy skies, a low of 48. South-southeast winds at 3 to 7. Thursday, mostly cloudy, a high near 69. Southeast winds at 7 to 13. They'll gust all the way to 20. Thursday night, showers likely mainly after 1 a.m. Cloudy, a low of 50. Chance of precip is 60% Thursday night. And on Friday, showers likely, possibly a thunderstorm or two. It'll be cloudy, breezy, a high near 58 degrees. Chance of precip is at 60%. Friday night, a chance of rain, mostly cloudy, a low of 43. As we get into the weekend, a chance of rain on Saturday, cloudy, breezy, a high of 47. Saturday night, mostly cloudy, blustery, with a low of, get this, 31 on Saturday night. And Sunday, mostly sunny skies, a high of just 50 degrees by the time Sunday night comes to us. Mostly cloudy, a low of 37. A bit warmer on Monday at 57 degrees and partly sunny. More on the ag weather when Don Day, when we get to the bottom of this half hour.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
On this Tuesday afternoon, Chicago futures were sharply lower. We'll talk with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana, but I want to invite you at this point throughout the program to dial in or to call in or to hit our website or whatever you can to make sure you pledge your financial support to programming that comes to you from Illinois Public Media, WILLAG.org. About 40% of our programming is paid for by you, the listener, and it's important that you dial in. We have many challenges today from good supporters. Dave Dickey, Director of Ag Programming, is here to tell us about that. Dave, hi.
Hello, Todd. A tip of the ag hat, though, to a few of those supporters who have already called in today and are part of that 40% mix. Larry Sigler, a tip of the hat to you. Dan Anderson and Scott Bicknell, thank you very much for your contributions today. To encourage you to call, Bill and Amanda Bosdek have challenged us today. And when we hear from 14 pledgers during the closing market report, they will add $500 to our pledge total. They say that they know how important reliable information is to your agribusiness, and they believe that AM 580 Agriculture provides that important information, and they want to encourage you to dial right now at 217-244-9455, or maybe just wait until after you hear from Wayne Nelson and then put that phone call in. 217-244-9455, the number.
You'll be back shortly, I know, to tell us more about how we're doing. 14 calls are needed in, so if you're going to do it, you do it today. Don't wait till tomorrow or Wednesday or Thursday or Friday. Do it today and call in now. Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana, is on the phone line to talk about a down day in Chicago. It was really ugly and kind of strange day in Chicago, I think, wasn't it, Wayne?
Yeah, it really was, Todd. You know, we were calling things a little lower out of the box this morning, but nothing like we came in and hit the deluge here. You know, some of the news wires called this a Black Tuesday. I'm going to call it a Red Tuesday because I look at my screen. It's just bloody up there.
Who let it down? What happened? What started it?
Well, you know, we were sharply lower on speculative long liquidation. Goldman Sachs come in with advice basically saying they suggested liquidating longs in crude, copper, soybeans, and their energy package or packet that they'd put together, saying they were within 3% of their goal. They gained 25% on it since the December here. So they were jumping out of that, and that along with the other funds, why we saw the, you know, over 15,000 corn, 4,000 wheat, and 7,000 beans being sold here today on the markets. And along with that, with all the outside markets, especially the crude oil, being down over $4 most of the day, very little buying coming back into the market, so there wasn't a lot of great support. So just a lot of liquidation there. But basically caused by that, and then, of course, Japan announcing that they were upping their rating on their nuclear disaster from a 7 to a 9, basically going at the Chernobyl-type level, didn't give us any confidence that they would be rebounding as soon as we hoped they would.
So Goldman was within 3% of their goal. That was probably pretty close. Well, that is very close to what they wanted. They got out. The question is, who was on the other side? Was it the commercial that was buying?
I think that we had feed users and commercials that were buyers on the other side, along with some speculative buying like that. You know, but we have to look at this and say, you know, we really didn't change the demand picture as such, and we haven't started any rationing from this level just as to go on with that. So could we suggest that once that Goldman's liquidation is done, that prices could rebound a little bit? We're sort of thinking that that could be the fact, and so we didn't panic today and sell a lot more. We did see some of the advisory firms that did come back in and rehedge some corn on the close today.
And are you with them? You think that's the right thing to do?
We sold corn the other day in the cash market when we could get above $6, and we're sitting comfortably where we want to be now and see if there isn't one more weather scare to punch up a little bit.
So this is a day, while it was ugly, it was red. It's a day where we have a lot of long liquidation out of the funds or the index, so they're spec money, and they don't really, if we're to believe what most of the ag economists would say, they don't set the price of a commodity. They set the volatility of a commodity oftentimes. So you're thinking demand's still there.
Well, as we look here and things, we still have the great ethanol demand. Basically, we didn't kill any cattle or hogs today any more than just usual slaughter numbers. they're going to continue to eat, and we're going to see. We need some tremendous imports into Japan for all their disaster and everything, because even the small amount that they do produce is going to need to be going on that way. The one thing where we may have seen some demand back away, and realistically so, is that China keeps telling us that they're either going to move some of their purchases forward or possibly make some cancellations. And, of course, the South American bean crop is doing tremendously well, Todd. Remember, we went from 70 to 72 million on the last government estimate as far as their production levels go.
All right. Anything else to add before I let you go for the day?
Well, we'll hope that just tomorrow's maybe a little green on the screen.
I think so. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd.
And that is Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That one happens each and every Tuesday afternoon, just part of the service that comes to you from willag.org and Illinois Public Media, a service that you, the listener, will, no matter whether you're listening to us on a radio station or online, or if you're listening on voicemail on our telephone service, that is paid for in large part by you, 40% of what we garner as funds to put this program together comes from you, the listener, and it's important that you call in right now with your pledge of financial support. Visa, MasterCard, Discover, and American Express, 217-244-9455 is the number to call. We'll get an update from Dave in just a moment. We're trying to meet a challenge. We'd like 14 callers to the Closing Market Report. We say during the half hour, but just put Closing Market Report down as the comments when you call in, whether because some of you will be listening after the fact. Make sure you tell them Closing Market Report. We'll count them all up. Say it's Tuesday. Ag programming, nonetheless, whether you make a phone call to us at 217-244-9455 or you hit that big red button up in the corner of willag.org that says pledge. A couple of notes, one on news that I know that you will want to hear if you're a corn farmer and you're getting your planter ready today, or if you're actually somewhere where you can roll at this point. Next year, there will be a change in your refuge for BT, because U.S. EPA has approved BT in the bag at the 95.5. So that BT in the bag at 95.5 that will come out with the smart stacks, right, will be available to you next year. That's big news. We'll have more on that, I'm sure, as we talk to entomologist Mike Gray. I ran across him as I was making my way from the southern part of the University of Illinois campus to the northern part of the University of Illinois campus within the last half hour. He told me that was happening. And one other note, we talked with the folks over at Eddyville, the Cargill plant there last week during Commodity Week. Ray Jenkins joined us. He's a buyer. And what I did not realize about that Cargill plant was just how big it really is. Apparently, it is a giant-sized plant. There are only three plants that have that same kind of size and run from the stream. One of them is owned by Cargill, one by ADM, and one by Tate & Lyle. Those three plants in the nation provide, I think, most of the fructose that goes, or corn syrup, right, corn sugar that's available. And then this little tidbit, the stream in Cargill out of Eddyville also produces citric acid, which is used in a lot of places. But if you wash clothes, get this, if you wash clothes and you have a front loader for your washer and you have to use the high-efficiency detergent, yep, that's where the citric acid goes, to make sure that that detergent is highly efficient. We like to be highly efficient here, too. And the way we do that, Dave Dickey, is by, well, trying to make sure that we produce the best possible programming with the money that's available. That money comes in large part from our listeners, and they can call us at 217-244-9455. How are we doing?
We're working our way down on a challenge from Bosdek Farms and Bill and Amanda Bosdek. They say that when we hear from 14 people during the closing market report, they'll put $500 into our agricultural kitty. And for us, Todd, that's a significant sum. We can do quite a bit of agricultural programming with $500. In fact, I think you and I can squeeze something out of a turnip if we really work at it hard enough. 217-244-9455, the number to call. We accept Visa, MasterCard, Discover, and American Express card. You know, I was listening to Wayne earlier, and I was thinking how volatile the markets have become in recent months, and how useful it is to have someone like Wayne to take us through and help us understand and explain to us what was going on. Because when you see all that red ink, you go, oh, my goodness, the whole thing has fallen apart, but maybe not. And it's good to have all those analysts that we have throughout the week. I think we have 21 analysts altogether, if you include the weekend as well, our Commodity Week show, and also our shows on television on Sunday and Market to Market. And I just think that it is that total balance of voices that you hear that helps you to make good marketing decisions. And frankly, it's something I don't think you can get anywhere else on the radio dial. If you appreciate that, why don't you call us now at 217-244-9455 with your pledge of support.
All right, so let's take a look at what's been happening in the world. Of course, you know USDA released its crop progress report yesterday. It showed around the nation about 3% of the corn crop had been put into the ground. Leading the pack was Texas. They were 55% planted, North Carolina at 17%, and both Tennessee and Missouri were at 10%. The five-year average for this time period is 3%, so that puts this year's progress, ahead of normal. Here are the five top corn-producing state statisticians, starting with Iowa, with reports from their areas.
This is Greg Tayson, director of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service Iowa Field Office, with the weekly crops and weather report for the week ending April 10, 2011. Statewide, there were 3.6 days suitable for field work during the week, with application of anhydrous and tiling reported as the most common field activities. Scattered corn fields have been planted, although many operators don't expect to get serious about corn planting until the end of the week, as additional time is needed to dry out and warm soils. Soil temperatures as of Sunday were averaging in the low 50s northwest to the upper 50s southwest. This is Greg Tayson reporting from the USDA NAS Iowa Field Office.
This is Brad Schwab, Chief Crop Statistician with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service Illinois Field Office. Showers early in the week slowed down the pace of corn planting. However, by midweek, planters were rolling again. Statewide, the week ended with temperatures averaging 7.5 degrees above normal, and average rainfall totals were also above normal by 37 one-hundredths of an inch. Corn planting got off to a good start and ended the week at 4% complete. This compares to 1% planted last year and for the five-year average. This year, Illinois farmers intend to plant 12,800,000 acres of corn, up 200,000 from last year. Soft red winter wheat was rated in 60% good or excellent condition, 5 percentage points ahead of last week. This has been Brad Schwab with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is David Biar of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Windy conditions and above normal temperatures dried and warm soils preparing the way for spring planting activities. Temperatures averaged up to 8 degrees above normal, with warmest conditions in the eastern half of the state. Soil temperatures rose over the past week to upper 40s in the north and mid-50s in the south. The lack of moisture continued to weigh on winter wheat conditions. Wheat conditions rated 3% very poor, 17 poor, 44 fair, 33 good, and 3% excellent, which is below last year's 64% good to excellent. The first fields of corn were planted, but progress is limited statewide. This is David Biar of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Nebraska Field Office in Lincoln.
This is Doug Hartwig, Director of USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office. A second round of flooding was underway in Minnesota's rivers and tributaries. This spring's flooding threat was magnified by high moisture in soils and near-record winter snowfall. Producers anticipated full-scale field work to begin on April 25th, 4 days behind the five-year average. 1% of the land was prepared for corn and soybean plantings, behind last year but close to the average pace. A warming trend caused the weekly average temperatures to increase to nearly 5 degrees above normal. Temperatures ranged from the upper 40s in the northern areas to the 50s and 60s in central and southern areas. I'm Doug Hartwig, Director of USDA NAS, Minnesota Field Office.
Hello, this is Andy Higgins with the Indiana Field Office of USDA NAS, and this is the Crop Progress and Condition Report for the week ending April 10th. Planting of corn is reported to be 1% complete statewide, which is the same as last year at this time. Rain showers and cool soil temperatures have kept many farmers from beginning planting. However, many farmers have been busy performing tillage operations and anhydrous ammonia applications. The winter wheat crop has broken dormancy with 57% of the acreage reported to be in good to excellent condition. 10% of the winter wheat has jointed compared to 7% last year and 13% for the five-year average. Pastures have experienced minimal regrowth thus far this spring due to the cool temperatures until this past week. Livestock are reported to be in mostly good condition. This is Andy Higgins reporting.
And I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. Please do dial this number, 217-244-9455, with your pledge of financial support.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
On this Tuesday afternoon, Stephen Platt of Archer Financial Services, a division of ADM, joins us to take a look at what's been happening in the world of agricultural energy markets. Why, what a fantastic day to talk to you. What can you tell me about what's happening?
Well, it's great for producers in terms of the energy's actually going lower here today. They've fallen off sharply since Friday from over 113. They're currently trading around 106. We've had a $7 decline. I think there's a lot to this break in terms of the market really saying that we have certainly some possible problems on the demand side, and that given the adequate supplies in this country, we're seeing some pressure develop, and I think these markets were overdone, certainly, as we moved into the end of last week.
Do we have numbers to substantiate those possible problems, and are they domestic or international numbers, or both?
Well, I think they'll develop here, given the increase in prices have been pretty much over the past month. We've seen this market since, you know, really at the in the middle of March, rising from 98 to as high as 114, and that was relatively high levels even back then. So I think overall this market certainly in terms of the supply-demand numbers is starting to show signs of some demand decay here in terms of the products.
If you had to bet, what would you say would be a stable price for crude oil?
I would say in that $95, $98 area.
All right. Thank you so much.
Sure enough.
Stephen Platt is with Archer Financial Services, joins us here on a Tuesday afternoon to take a look at the agricultural energy markets. Crude oil today was top of the mind. If you enjoy his comments and others on this program, please do visit our website and pledge your financial support at willag.org. Hit the red button in the right-hand side or call this number, 217-244-9455. It's important that you step up to the plate and support the Closing Market Report in Agriculture from Illinois Public Media. Dave Dickey is in studio with us this afternoon to update us on where we're at on meeting some challenges. We're looking for several folks to call in to the Closing Market Report. If you're listening after the fact, we record, of course, in the afternoon around 2:30 Central Time, but you can hear us on the radio sometimes later, certainly on the web later, and by phone at 217. Well, we'll give you a different number to call later. And if you are, please do well, dial in your support right now. Dave, how are we doing for the day?
Well, I want to say thank you to Michael and Sharon Kirby, who pledged their support for Illinois Public Media Agriculture Today. Jacqueline Davis, thank you very much for your gift. Ryan Stone weighing in with a gift for Illinois Public Media Agriculture today. Thank you all for your contributions. We're working on a challenge, and I believe with web pledges that we're back into single digits remaining on this particular challenge. Bill and Amanda Bozdek of Bozdek Farms saying that they will contribute $500 when we hear from a total of 14 people during the closing market report. We've received a couple of phone calls in. I know we have some web pledges in because Heather Miller has told us we have received some of those today and they're not accounted for just yet. So we're quickly closing in on our goal, but let's be sure that we make it. And you can help us do that at 217-244-9455 with your contribution of financial support. We accept Visa, MasterCard, Discover, and American Express card. If you're new to public radio, you might be wondering why we do a pledge drive. Well, it's because we rely on 40% of our programming support from you. Call us at 217-244-9455.
Support for the closing market report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Tuesday afternoon. Don Day of Day Weather from Cheyenne, Wyoming is with us to take up the agricultural weather forecast. Don, how's it look in your part of the world and into the southwest for the winter wheat crop?
Well, you know, that's definitely a big concern as the southern areas, the southwest areas are just dry, and while there's been a little bit of shower activity, it hasn't been the soaker that everybody's been looking for. And unfortunately, while there will be no lack of storminess traversing the United States, they continue to move too quickly and a little too far north to bring that good soaking rain or wet snow to those wheat areas of the southwest United States. So that is going to be an ongoing concern here, at least for another week.
And then turn your attention to the Midwest and tell me about planting season for corn. Farmers will be anxious in parts of the Corn Belt in Ohio and Indiana, Illinois, parts of Iowa, and then thinking about it for sure in parts of northern Iowa, Minnesota, and the Dakotas.
Okay, well, first of all, for the Midwest, and let's talk about the central and southern Corn Belt areas, the systems are going to be frequent moving through, and it looks like above normal amounts of precipitation will fall over just about all of the Corn Belt, many areas, the Great Lakes, the Ohio Valley, some areas of the southeast, the Delta. There's going to be no lack of precipitation. So for folks planting, you're going to have to try to time your best luck in between these systems. The good news is they'll be quick movers, which I think will keep us from excessive amounts of rainfall, but there's going to be wet conditions out there, and it's going to be cooler than normal. No extreme cold coming, but at the same time, we're not going to see soil temperatures warm up rapidly either, at least here for another week or so.
Will the floodwaters in the northern part of the Midwest get worse because of these rainfalls, or will they subside and just drain off naturally?
Well, you know, that is definitely going to be something that has to be watched, and it all depends on the track of these storms. The next storm system, which is going to happen here in the next couple of days, especially in the Thursday-Friday time frame, is going to be a strong storm, bringing significant rains to South Dakota, Nebraska, southern and southwest Minnesota, and Iowa. The heaviest rains may stay just south of the biggest flooding concerns, but it's going to be a close call. So we've got to keep a real close eye on that flooding situation, especially maybe not in areas we're thinking about right now. If there's enough rain, that would be northeastern Nebraska, right where South Dakota, Nebraska, and Iowa and Minnesota meet. Those are the areas where I'm most concerned about the heaviest rain.
Touch on Eurasia. We need to check the winter wheat crop coming out of dormancy in France, Ukraine, Russia, and then planting in China.
Okay, for the Ukraine and for most of Europe, both Western and Eastern Europe, it's going to be a little bit warmer and drier. Nothing excessively dry, but the Ukraine is probably the area that's going to be the driest and the warmest. That would also include Western areas of Europe. looks like Central Europe and Eastern Russia are going to have some decent chances of precipitation. For China, looks to be a little warmer than normal. Near normal precipitation looks like for those areas near ideal conditions.
Don, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Don Day is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Joins us on the closing market report. Thanks for all your gifts. If you haven't made that yet, please dial the numbers with your financial support. I'm Todd Gleason.